They fixed the flat. The spare is now back in the trunk until we go flat again. So we use Jesus as a spare tire when life goes flat, when he wants to be all four tires rolling along our lives as the centerpiece of our existence.
Tony would be glad to explain how you can make God the center of your life. Visit TonyEvans.org and click on the Jesus link for complete information and free follow-up resources. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Grandpa, your car is so cool.
Well, thanks, buddy. A 1967 fully restored 340 horsepower rides like a cloud. And just look at all the room in here.
It's awesome, Grandpa. Where do you plug in your phone?
Well,
unlike cars or anything else, the Bible does not need to be restored or updated. Billy Graham.
Men somehow think that in an age of scientific achievement, that this ancient book is out of date. However, I'm convinced that the Bible, the Word of God, is more up to date than any other century in the history of the Christian church. But to make it more personal, a return to the Bible could bring peace to your individual hearts.
Explore more about the impact the Bible can have on your life by going to findpeacewithgod.net. That's findpeacewithgod.net. We're the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
I'm Ruth Kramer with Mission Network News. The 7.4 magnitude earthquake that struck Taiwan Wednesday killed at least 10 people and injured more than 1,000. The death toll is low, but rescue efforts are urgent as more than 700 people remain trapped. Joe Handley with A3 says churches they know in Taiwan are actively engaging with what's happening. Learn more about how you can partner with A3's long-term work in Taiwan at missionnews.org. Then the conflict between Sudan's military and a paramilitary group this past year has scattered many of the Oral Bible translation team of Spoken worldwide. Ed Weaver says their field leader for all of Sudan, a man we'll call Saeed, finally made it to Uganda with his family. Pray for them as they resettle, then pray for wisdom for next steps as they and their team reformat what their ministry looks like now among displaced people. Find your place in the story at missionnews.org. Thanks for listening to Mission Network News, a service of One Way Ministries. I'm Ruth Kramer.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit liftoff.
Hey, folks, good afternoon. Welcome to SWAT Radio. Brad Sykes, along with my good buddy Doug McCary, coming to you live on this Monday afternoon. Today is April the 8th, and it's a lunar eclipse, or is it a solar eclipse? Do you know the difference?
Well, it's a solar eclipse.
It is a solar eclipse. Yeah. I was just checking to make sure.
You can see it right there in Indianapolis, look man. It's about to happen.
Oh, look at that. That's
cool. I think the world's still going to be okay.
Yes,
people are freaking out, going everywhere.
Did you see that thing I sent you over the weekend?
Yes, I did.
I know it was kind of long, so if you haven't had a chance to look at it.
I looked at some of it, but you know, it's interesting to me how people get really worked up about creation. Mm-hmm. What if we got that worked up about God? I'm not kidding you. You know, and I'm not saying it's not an amazing thing, but we're literally talking about the moon passing in front of the mm-hmm. sun. God created mm-hmm. both of them.
Yeah.
People are driving to go to the middle of it, hours, you know, 1,000 miles from here to get over there to where they can see it because but God created that. Yeah.
Well, I was reminded of Psalm 19. You and I both memorized that chapter a while back where it begins by saying the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork.
Yeah.
Day to day it pours forth speech, and night to night it reveals knowledge. And it says, there is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. I love it. It says, in them he has set a tent for the sun.
Yeah.
Which comes out like a bridegroom.
Yeah. I mean, like, apparently when this happens, it messes with animals. It messes with, you know, other things, gravitational pull and all that stuff. And even the people that live right in the middle, all of a sudden it goes from daylight to dark really quick at a time of day when it's not, you know, our bodies are built on these timelines. And that's when we get jet lag when we go from one place to the other. But, you know, the thing is, again, people get so excited about this. Yeah. Imagine the return of Christ. Imagine the God who made this, who made the sun, he made the stars. And so, you know, it's just, I don't know, people have getting worked up. But it's funny to see the American capitalism at work because people are having eclipse sales. You know, come do, get an eclipse.
Oh, come on. Are you
kidding
me?
Buy one, get one free. I'm not kidding.
That is crazy. Yeah, I have not seen that. But I think it's fascinating. Like you said, I mean, what if our fascination with the eclipse was surpassed by our fascination with the Word of God?
Yeah.
I mean, the Word of God is full of things like this. That's Joel 2:31. It says, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. What a powerful verse that is.
Yeah, that's, well, again, people, this is the news right now across the country.
For sure.
And you haven't even heard that much about people talking about some of the warnings against ISIS, Brad, that have been going happening. But these people are, right now we're looking at a screen of people in Duval County. We're only going to get a 60% eclipse here.
Oh, there it is. Sorry, folks. We've got the TV on in here and we're looking at, do these people have jobs? I'm just curious.
There's a lot of people out there. Apparently not today. And I know the kids in Duval County are out of school today.
It's a holiday.
Maybe just for the North Florida school, but my girls are out of school.
Gotcha. For this? Or is this just something else?
It just coincided. But if you look on the right and look on the left, I mean, you see a dark screen on South Bank. Where is that at? Do you know where that's at?
I have no idea where that is.
But on the left here in Jacksonville, it just looks cloudy out there.
Just a solar eclipse watch party. That's what it is. Anyway.
Well, Jim Dennison said there's a 105-year-old man that has actually witnessed 12 solar eclipses in his lifetime, and this will be his 13th.
I think our last one, 2017. Yeah. That sound about right.
Yeah, but the next one's 44.
Wow.
Which, you know, that's a little ways away.
That is a little way. Let's see.
We may not be here.
I was going to say, you start doing the math. Yeah. You know what?
But Lori and I were talking earlier today, and maybe this is what happened when Jesus died.
Yeah.
You know, it just a eclipse like this, and it went dark all of a sudden. But again, I go back to this idea that what if we got this excited about God, about the return of his son, which a lot of people are echoing, it's coming. You know, even people are first of all, you can't predict it.
Right.
Jesus himself said he didn't know.
No.
If Jesus doesn't know, you can just disregard anybody.
But he did speak about it. I mean, Luke 21, verse 25.
Yeah.
He says, and there will be signs in sun and moon and stars.
Yep.
And I love this. And on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity. You think there's some nations in perplexity?
Oh,
I know we don't get into all the other things that are going on in the world today, but there are some issues among nations right now.
Well, there's a lot of issues, and in fact, it was last Wednesday, I believe it was, where we talked about the new Scottish law on hate speech, and. You know, this new hate crime, the police over there, they don't even know how to really go out and intervene for this. But The reason I find it interesting is it's going to impact other people. And I was sharing with you before we came on the air about an American soccer star named Corbin Albert. And Corbin Albert played during the She Believes Cup, which just came on. She had a social media thing where she got a lot of backlash because she posted things about the LGBTQ plus community. And, you know, she made some comments apparently about Megan Rapinoe, who has been very pro LGBTQ alphabet soup, you know, plus whatever. Anyway. And so when you go and look at, if you just bring up her name, you don't hear about soccer. You know what you hear about? She has a lot more explaining to do. You know, think about that. She it's not like, and she's a good soccer player, but it says that she has explaining, she has questions to answer for beyond her internal conversations with the USWNT. And all this is because in her beliefs, she believes that a man should be married to a woman should be married to a man, and there's no such thing as transgender.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And, you know, and this is because she's not even making comments. She might just be reposting what you or I might say or post on our social media or somebody. And because she reposted it, people got upset. One of them just said that she finds the term cisgender, which, you know, refers to people whose gender identity corresponds to their birth, to be disrespectful. And another one shared a video features a man listing same-sex attraction and feeling transgender among a spate of troubles such as alcohol addiction, from which God saved him. So she just put that out there, and now she gets booed by these people. One of our listeners wrote in and said, what is the plus for? Well, the plus is for anything else they want to add to the alphabet.
Exactly.
It's an ad sign. What does Vody talk about? He calls it the alphabet mafia, right?
And it is. It absolutely is. You have to leave a dot, dot, dot so that you can include other things. I thought it was interesting what J.K. Rowling, author of Harry Potter, she's certainly been in the spotlight for the last couple of days. Said freedom of speech and belief are at an end in Scotland if the accurate description of biological sex is deemed criminal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what they're really getting at. Now, imagine this soccer player that you just mentioned.
Mm.
What if she'd have said those things as a Muslim?
Yeah. Well,
you think they would have booed her?
No, not at all. In fact, do you know who Rapinoe is? Are you familiar with her?
Yeah.
Okay, so she is like paid to, you know, she's got these endorsement deals and everything. And Rapinoe put out, are you making any type of space safer and more inclusive, more whole, any semblance of better, bringing the best out of anyone? Because if you aren't, all you believe in is hate. That's going to be what people say when you put out that a woman should be married to a man, this is biblical values,
Right. Biblically
based values, guys. This is what that they're saying. And other players who are very prominent, one person are coming up with Rapinoe. One person said it was totally unacceptable, disrespectful, and hurtful. To put that stuff out there really requires a lot on Corbett's part. And I think we need to pray for her. You know, I'm glad that she does take a stand. That is a tough career field for people to take a stand because, unfortunately, there's a lot of wokeness in that career field, you know, especially at the professional level.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
permeated every sport there is, I think. Maybe not golf as much. But.
Well, my prayer is that she will not bend, that Corbin will not bend to the pressure and give in to that. She'll be loving. She'll be kind and gentle and respectful, but she's entitled to her biblical beliefs. Our country was founded on biblical beliefs.
And free speech.
Yes.
Yeah, and free speech.
But I told you, Brad, with what's going on in Scotland, you can bet that that is going to influence, at the very least, if there's no laws, people are going to rely on that and use that to weaponize stifling people from making biblically based comments, you know?
Well, I mean, is take it to its, you know, natural length, to its end, it's going to silence you and I as followers of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the goal, is to silence us.
Well, the people who were responding on social media said, well, what does she believe? Does she actually believe homosexuality is a sin? Does she believe that gender affirmation is shameful? Or does she believe that everyone should embrace and be embraced for who they are and what they feel? Well, no, we don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. Christians, Bible-believing Christians, people who follow Jesus, do not affirm delusions. We don't affirm lies. We don't affirm anything that goes against the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not unloving. It is actually unloving to affirm somebody who goes against God's word.
Right.
That's what's unloving.
Yeah. So, crazy.
Wow.
Hey, glad you tuned in this afternoon. If you want to call, 844-777-7928. That's 844-777-SWAT. If you want to send us a question or comment, send that to ask@swatradio.com, ask@swatradio.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
Joshua 1:9 states, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Highway to Eternity Ministries is dedicated to encouraging those who have lost hope. The ministry seeks to serve those who cannot find peace and are considered unfit for inclusion in Christ's church. They use published works to teach God's word and share the encouraging testimonies of lives that have been transformed through God's power and grace. Highway to Eternity Ministries serves as a parachurch ministry that comes alongside churches to share its passion and commitment through spiritual writings, nuances, and experiences to everyone who has an interest in the teachings of Jesus Christ. For more information, contact Jeff Andrews at 904-436-5175 or visit www.highwaytoeternity.com. Highway to Eternity Ministries is a proud sponsor of SWAT Radio.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Mandarin at 91.7.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Doug and Brad here on this Monday afternoon, Solar Eclipse Monday.
Yeah.
And glad you tuned in. If you want to call, we're here, 844-777-7928. 844 877-SWAT. You can also email us at ask@SWATradio.com. If you're new to SWAT Radio, this is the first time you've tuned in. SWAT stands for Spiritual Warriors Advancing Truth. And this is a teaching ministry of His Light International Ministries. And we gather here Monday through Friday to open God's Word and teach it. We also discuss it and talk about the application of it. And Thursdays are really designated for Guest Thursday. You had a great guest last week,
Nancy
Doug,
Piercy.
Nancy Piercy.
Yeah,
and
really good.
I want to encourage you, if you are new to SWAT, maybe you don't have the SWAT Radio app. There's a SWAT Radio app you can download, or you can go to SWATradio.com and listen to any broadcast that we've done. And we're going on year 8, so hard to believe.
Yeah, but, we had some technical difficulties, but Jeremy. Sorry, I left your M
out.
But
you can call me Jay, call me JJ.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember.
Yeah, Jeremy smoothed that out and made it very listenable. So it is posted. And the book, the War on Masculinity, is really, really good. I highly, highly encourage that.
It's probably hate speech in Scotland.
Yeah, well, it's got to be. but Nancy Piercy, we're going to have her back. And, you know, she it was just really fascinating talking to her. She had been ministered to by Dr. Francis Schaeffer, who is just he's one of those.
That's gold.
Yeah, that right there. But she also did ministry with Chuck Colson, and he's another lightweight. I mean, that's some pretty big shoes, or Schaeffer and Colson. But
I didn't catch, I mean, I caught part of the interview. How did she come in contact with those guys?
Well, she met Schaeffer when she was over in Europe.
I got you.
Her parents, they went to Le Brie, which was his place over there in little Swiss village. And it was really amazing. She said it was the most unbelievable community of believers she had ever met. And said it really impacted her, brought a lot of healing to her. And I think she met Colson just because of the influence of Schaeffer. She became an apologist and really is probably one of the top apologists in the whole U.S. I mean, she's really, really good. A lot of her stuff, she wrote a book called Total Truth, another one called Finding Truth. And Trey Brunson told me he read her book, Total Truth, said it was really, really good. Hmm. So when he was at DBU or something.
Yeah, DBU.
So,
yeah.
So anyway, she was great. This week we got Scott Christensen on Thursday. And Scott was great. And by the way, I wanted to let you know, I mentioned it to you before, just for our listeners, I was over in Tallahassee, which is our state capital, and was training some law enforcement people over there with our, you know, Centurion Training Group, which is a faith-based organization that actually partners with His Light to train law enforcement. And it's a really unique opportunity. So pray for that training this week. They're training a state agency over there. And it was just a really good opportunity to go over and open in prayer and kind of lay the vision out for why we do faith-based training. You know, faith-based training is just like faith-based ministry anywhere. It's a faith-based organization coming alongside a minister. I mean, a out there like a government agency saying, hey, we want to help and we want to help support you because we believe what you do is important. And, you know, for law enforcement guys, they're ministers of justice, according to Romans 13. They bear the sword for the Lord, not just for the state or the government, the federal government or the local government. They bear it for the Lord. But they are ministers of justice. It's the same way we have ministers of the gospel out mm-hmm. there. And so pray for those guys this week as they go through the training. And it was a really, really good opportunity. About half of them wanted the SWAT t-shirts because they like the
I love it.
That you know, five core values
yeah.
on
oh,
the
yeah.
back, you know.
Absolutely.
So, well,
in fact, we're going to be doing, I think pretty soon, just a kind of an overview of SWAT, what the ministry is about, as well as kind of expound on those five core values.
Yes.
And sometime very soon.
Yeah. So. And it's a good thing to do that because sometimes people may be listening or you may forget that, you know, the core values for SWAT is really the glue for our community of guys. That the Bible, mm-hmm. we all view the Bible as God's word, and it says our authority, prayer, staying close to our commander, evangelism, engaging witnesses for impact, discipleship, making his last command our first priority, and community, a band of brothers that are around each other to help each other go through there. And we got some guys right now and have lost some SWAT guys in the past few months to cancer. We got other guys battling cancer. We have others with spouses battling cancer and other issues. We got a guy right now waiting on a liver transplant. Please lift these men up mm-hmm. because we're about that community, and we want the community to be a real community, like Nancy Piercy talked about over in LaBrie.
Yeah.
That's what believers do.
Absolutely.
You know?
Well, I think it's kind of, it's unique, as I have an opportunity from time to time, whether I'm going to speak somewhere or even if it's just somebody who asks, you know, tell me about SWAT Radio. I think one of the unique things about it is that it's made up of a couple hundred men from all different churches.
Yeah.
You know, we're not the church. We're not a church in the sense that this is to replace your Sunday. In fact, quite the opposite. We try to encourage men to get into a Bible believing church.
Yes.
But the community of men that come together to encourage one another.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was saying this before we came on the air. Aren't you thankful for the men that God has placed in your life?
Oh, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. The mentors and the people that have built in. Well, you know, we are working through this Gospel of Mark. And today's, or actually this week's passage is Mark 5, 21 through 34. And it's really about, it's an unlikely pair of people that are sharing the same space. And Jesus does that. He has a habit of bringing people together that would never be together mm-hmm. any other way.
Yep.
And in this week's passage, we're going to see that. But I want to remind our listeners that, you know, Mark, really the lens through which we see this gospel is it's the euangelion, which is a word that we translate gospel or good news. And it was only used when a new king was crowned, a new king was born, or a king had won a great military victory. And that's the word Mark and the other gospel writers chose to talk about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the euangelion. He is that king. And Mark has been laying out in his gospel the evidence, the fact that Jesus healed a leper and he healed a paralytic. He cast demons out of people. He was doing things that no mere mortal or human could mm-hmm. do. And he said, I forgive your sins. And they go, wait a minute, who can forgive sins but God? And so Mark's laying these things out. And last week we saw the destructive power of darkness in the demoniac. This guy was a psychopath living in a graveyard. And that destructive power of darkness was quickly overcome by the life-giving power of the light of Jesus. Those demons had never encountered that in the Decapolis area. This guy grew up with all these demons. He had all these demons in him, thousands of demons in him over there, and Jesus encountered him. And you got to remember what happened before that. The disciples were on the boat with Jesus, and there was this big windstorm, and they were panicked. They were dying out there. And Jesus was dealing with their self-reliance. And he just says, shh, be quiet. And the whole weather system just shut down. No wind, no waves. And they were like, who is this guy? And he goes, where's your faith? And so it was a pretty quiet ride till they get over there to the land of the Decapolis on the other side. And when they got there, this demoniac came running up on him, and Jesus dealt with him. And we saw the two responses of the people there. And one of them was, hey, get away. We don't. And that's a very bizarre response to a guy who took a man possessed with thousands of demons that was a psychopath and made him normal. I mean, everything that was making him antisocial, Jesus took away and made him normal and approachable. And the guy was ready to serve Jesus. Yeah. And the people go, get away. But the man wanted to follow Jesus. He goes, no, go tell people. Well, this week, we see a man desperate to save his dying daughter. And we also see a woman, this is the unlikely pair, a woman who's suffering from a terrible disease that's ruined her life. Jesus brings them both together because they both needed something only Messiah could give. Mm. And he does it. And but the thing that really struck me is during this time, God's people had not been cared for by their shepherds for a very, very long time. They had not been cared for. They hadn't been fed. They were hungry for real food. So really a lot of people were anticipating Messiah. And when Jesus popped on the scene, they were like, okay, this has got to be it. This is it. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, before we get into this Mark passage, I want to read just a couple of excerpts from Ezekiel about God's condemnation of leaders that didn't care for the sheep, because this is where they are. And it's important to understand that that's the world Jesus is coming mm-hmm. into. Mm-hmm. And it had been going on like this for 600 years.
Yeah. They are sheep without a shepherd.
Yes, they are.
As he said. Glad you tuned in this afternoon. We're going to take a quick break. You can call us in the fourth segment, 844-777-7928, 844-777-SWAT. You can also email us any questions or comments you have to ask@swatradio.com. Hope you'll stay tuned. We'll be right back after the break.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The moon has started to cover up the sun in Texas. National Weather Service meteorologist Cody Snell says clouds will cover part of the eclipse for some viewers.
Upstate New York, iffy. Northern New England, as in like Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine are good, but New York is a little bit tricky. There's going to be some clouds moving in from the west, and they're going to be the ones that get the clouds first in that part of the country.
The first location in continental North America to experience totality, Mexico's Pacific coast, at around 2 p.m. Eastern time. Former President Donald Trump says abortion rights should be left to the states.
The presumptive GOP presidential nominee said, quote, "My view is now that we have abortion where everyone wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by voter legislation or perhaps both." In a video posted on his Truth Social account, the former president did not specify at what number of weeks during a pregnancy he would support an abortion ban. However, he reiterated his support for exceptions in the case of incest, rape, and when the life of the mother is in danger.
Correspondent Jeremy House, also at SRNNews.com. In consumer news, the price of gasoline averaging $3.60 per gallon today. That's 20 cents higher than a month ago.
If you're driving in California, it's an eye-popping $5.35 a gallon. What's going on? Well, AAA spokesman Andrew Gross blames tension in the Middle East and Ukraine's renewed attacks on Russia's oil infrastructure. They've spiked oil prices recently, he says. And demand is up, says the Energy Information Administration. The AAA points to that and the rising oil prices as the culprits, saying those two things together will likely move pump prices higher. I'm Rita Foley.
The Dow had 26 points, the Nasdaq adding 8 points. This is SRN News.
Why does the sun shine? The answer is next on today's Creation Moments. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
If we could harness all of the sun's energy which reaches the earth, we would have more than enough energy to fill all of our energy needs, even if the entire world became as industrialized as the West. Yet, less than 0.1% of all of the sun's energy output reaches the earth. What is going on within the sun to create so much energy? Most people have heard that the sun produces its energy through nuclear fusion. And even though most scientists think that this is true, they admit that the real answer isn't that simple. And the full answer is unknown. If the sun produces its energy by nuclear fusion, one of the results of that process is a tiny particle called a neutrino. But in fact, the neutrinos which should be coming from the sun are not. Worse, new calculations of the temperature needed for the sun to ignite into a nuclear fusion process show that the evolutionary theory for how the sun formed does not generate enough heat for fusion. An alternate theory says that the sun's heat is a result of the sun's powerful gravity pulling the sun in upon itself. This is called gravitational collapse. This would explain why the neutrinos are missing. But the evolutionists have rejected gravitational collapse, because if this is where the sun's heat comes from, the sun could not be billions of years old. Despite our scientific sophistication, many of God's works defy our understanding.
For more information, visit us online at creationmoments.com. You'll find both written and audio transcripts, creation-focused articles and Bible studies, and many other resources, all at creationmoments.com.
Expect some delays because of a crash on the West Beltway 295 northbound at the ramp to Old St. Augustine Road, blocking the off-ramp right lane. Also, there's a broken-down vehicle on I-95 northbound at Pecan Park Road, and there's a disabled vehicle on I-10 eastbound near the Cecil Commerce Center Parkway. Partly cloudy tonight, low 62. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high 82. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be all right.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Doug and Brad here on this Monday afternoon. Glad you tuned in. We are going to be in Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 34 this week. This is a great study. Probably a text you're familiar with. You've been around Bible study for a minute or two. But I think I'm excited that we're going to kind of dig in.
Well, you were there last week, right? As I was working through it, there were things that came up in the study that I'd never thought of, you know, and, but just as I was reading it, thinking about Jairus, who is a leader of the synagogue in Capernaum, where you've been.
Absolutely.
And you've actually seen where the synagogue was there, which is kind of crazy, right? It still remains are there.
Right.
And then this lady that we don't even know her name has this issue of blood. And Mark has done this with a couple of things where he sandwiches in between something. In this case, it's a miracle within a miracle. Other place he does teaching within teaching. And so, but I was struck by the lack of care for the lady, and even Jairus, you know, that the fact that Jairus was a synagogue leader and he took such a risk to go to Jesus. And I was just reminded of Ezekiel 34. This is 600 years before Jesus walked on the earth as a human. And it says in Ezekiel 34, "Thus says the Lord God, Ah, shepherds of Israel, who've been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you don't feed the sheep. The weak ones you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. They became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them." And he goes on to say in verse 8, "My shepherds have not searched for my sheep." Verse 9, "Thus says the Lord, I'm against the shepherds. I put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food." And then in 11, he says, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. In verse, he goes on in verse 13, I will feed them on the mountains of Israel. Verse 14, I will feed them with good pasture. He says, I will do it. In verse 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will make them lie down. In verse 22, I will rescue my flock. So this whole text, God is saying, I'm going to come and do what my leaders haven't done. Mm-hmm. Now, go back to Mark chapter 5. And verses 21 through 34 is about two sheep who were desperate. They're desperate. They're hurting. One of them has a child dying. The other has been bleeding for 12 years, which makes her unclean, which makes her unapproachable. It makes her alienated. It makes her unable to go to the temple or to the synagogue. And so these two sheep need a shepherd, and boy, do they meet one when Jesus comes in to their world. So I'm going to have you read Mark 5, 21 through 34. And as we do, I want you to see that Jesus brings hope, first of all, to desperate people shepherded by the self-righteous. He brings hope to those people that are desperate who have been shepherded by self-righteous hypocrites. And second, to despairing people who've been swindled and shunned. This lady has been swindled out of all her money, and now she's shunned. And so Jesus brings hope to both Jairus and this lady, and that's what the whole story is about. So go ahead and read that. And
yeah. Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 21 through 34. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Verse 27, she had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. Verse 29, and immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus perceived in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Mm-hmm. These are the very words of God.
Wow. That's just such a powerful story. You know, when you think about this woman who has wandered around, who's a nobody. She's just a nobody. She was excluded from the body because of something that was outside of her control. Mm. And you know, Brad, that was never the intention of God. I just wonder, did any of these shepherds pray for her? Mm. Did they even offer to pray for her? Or did they just cast her aside like everybody else had done in her life?
Yeah.
You know, 12 years of bleeding. And, you know, she's desperate. Jairus, the synagogue leader, is desperate. And he was prominent. So you have this contrast of these two people. We're going to get more into it.
I think one of the things that's interesting, and you may bring this out, is that they both of them were risking something.
Yeah. Well, they absolutely were. Jairus, obviously risking because what we remember, what had gone on prior to Jesus going away, the synagogue leaders and the Pharisees and the scribes wanted to kill Jesus. Remember, they were already wanting to destroy him. So he was doing that. But, you know, I want to go back to that, allude back to that Ezekiel passage for a second. And you, I know you agree with this because you and I have talked about it before. We live in a culture that's infatuated with celebrity pastors, not shepherds. I mean, in fact, one celebrity pastor said shepherding is no longer a good model for the church. I know you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's not the only thing he has said would disagree with.
Yeah, but the problem is the model that God has used in his word is shepherds. That's the term he used. And it's because shepherds cared for their sheep in ways that we don't even understand. A CEO very rarely cares about the guy who's down on the assembly line. I'm not saying that you can't have good guys out there. Jim Collins brought a lot of that out in his books. There are good guys. But for the most part, how many CEOs really know the guy who's down at the boot level?
Right, right.
And unfortunately, that's been the model for church in our country for at least the last 15, 20 years, maybe longer.
Yeah.
And what it's produced is these celebrity pastors who do a great job at bringing growth. But what happens is the ministry is all about them.
It becomes all about them.
Yes. Most people from those churches, if you talk to them about the church, very rarely do you hear people talk about Jesus. Yeah. They talk about the pastor.
Yeah.
That was not the way it was intended.
Like I've heard one pastor say, don't ever come up to me and tell me you go to my church. It's not my church.
Yeah.
It's Jesus's church.
Well, and let's face it, in reality, when you have a celebrity pastor, a lot of people bring energy to the body. Yep. Everybody likes it. But shepherds aren't usually that exciting people.
Well, I was going to say, shepherding is a messy job.
It is.
By the way.
Yeah.
Hey, we're going to take a quick break. Call us at 844-777-7928. Email us at ask@swatradio.com, ask@swatradio.com. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Look forward to hearing from you.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
The floor. Florida, Georgia Truth Network, serving Kings Bay at 91.3.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite. With all the never get it right.
Hey, welcome back to SWAT Radio. Glad you tuned in this afternoon. Hey, we'll take calls during this segment, 844-777-7928. Look forward to hearing from you as we dig back into Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 34 this week. We're going to be looking at the fact that Jesus brings hope to desperate people shepherded by the self-righteous. We're also going to see that Jesus brings hope to despairing people who've been swindled and shunned. We were just talking about shepherd. The work of the shepherd is messy. That's a messy work.
Well, you know, Brad, it is, and we were talking about this, and we're going to get into this text really tomorrow about the hope that Jesus brings to these people. But this first idea of desperate people being shepherded by self-righteous, immediately the thing that popped into my mind is Mark Driscoll out on the West Coast. You sent me a podcast, I think it was a few years ago, they call the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill.
Yeah, the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. Interesting.
And one of the things that Mark said, I don't know if you remember this, is he said, you either get on the bus or you get run over by it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that is the way a lot of people feel who are shepherded by those celebrity pastors.
Well, it gets to the point of a CEO model.
Yes.
You know, if you're not on board, then we're going to run you over.
And I think the excitement of the celebrity pastor is no question. People get excited because usually they're dynamic communicators. But at the end of the day, who is really ministering to you? Like, mm-hmm. It's funny when people say, well, so-and-so is my pastor. A lot of those people who are their quote pastor, they don't even know them.
No,
they have no idea.
Yeah.
And you go, well, it's impossible to know 10,000 people or 5,000 people. Well, I just think we've evolved to a point where I don't know that that's the best thing for the church. You know, I mean, when you stop and think about it, Charles Spurgeon, in fact, you remember we met the guy who came and spoke at First Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Spurgeon knew the parents' name and the child's name of every family in his body.
Yeah.
He knew them. I mean, that's insane. There were 6,000 mm-hmm. people at the height of his ministry. And you go, how? And this guy made the point, it's not the size of the body, but it's the size of the shepherd's heart for his body.
Yeah. I've shared this before here on SWAT. It's and I don't if you don't mind, I'll share it again. Of my time over in Israel with you when we went over, in fact, that was I think it was 2017. Lots of great experiences over there. One of the most significant experiences I had was getting to talk to a shepherd, a true shepherd,
mm-hmm.
Who shepherds sheep over in Nazareth. And I remember as our group kind of moved on, I told Vicky, I said, hey, I want to talk to this guy. And I ended up, as the group kind of moved on, we lagged behind and I ended up getting a good conversation with this guy. And I asked him, I said, you know, how many sheep can a shepherd really tend to?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, it depends on how long you've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, when you first get started, you don't have a bunch mm-hmm. because you have to learn to steward them well. And he said, but, you know, a good shepherd can tend to about 200 sheep, maybe 250, I think he said. And I said, wow, that's a lot of sheep to oversee. He said, oh, yeah. He goes, but a good shepherd in the pitch dark of night can literally put his hand on the back of a sheep, and he knows exactly which one that is.
Yeah.
He says, you name them. They're all named, which, I mean, how incredible is that? That you would know your sheep so well that even in the dark of night, you can put your hand on the back of their neck and know which one is which.
Yeah. I remember that conversation and was amazed at the shepherds. And there's a lot of faithful shepherds. And listen, this is not to say that there's not some popular pastors out there that have large churches that aren't faithful. I'm not saying that.
But they've probably built into that model.
Well, they have.
Shepherds.
But I really believe with my heart of hearts that celebrity pastors are really, they're not the way God wanted the structure of the church in the Bible. That's just mm-hmm. not.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how many people did they have? They had 3,000 people come to faith the day of Pentecost, right? Mm-hmm. They could have had a big just gathering,
right?
But
right.
they didn't. Paul went house to house.
Yeah.
They did smaller because you just reach a certain point. Jesus avoided the mobs because it's hard for the mobs to be deep. There's a reason for that. Listen, that's not to say that you can't have large churches. I get we just reached a point in this country where you see of all the people that follow Jesus, how many of them were celebrities, really?
None. I mean, interesting. I mean, even in this text today, Jairus would have been considered not a celebrity, but he was a prominent person.
Yeah.
He was a man of position. He was a man of means. He was a man of power. You see that here.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, you can go back to Acts, go back in Acts, and you see that as the church grew, they had to bring in, you know, I think of the Hellenist who complained about the widows not getting the proper, you know, nourishment, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or the right distribution, you know. Basically, Peter said, hey, we need to bring some other guys in to attend to these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's, I mean, I think, you know, I don't know, you and I both know a few celebrity pastors. It's a dangerous process. I mean, it's a dangerous thing. I don't know that any of them necessarily started their ministry in that way.
Yeah.
But to your point, they're dynamic, they're good communicators, they're charismatic in their personality, and that draws people.
Yeah.
But I think there's a danger to it because the sheep elevate the shepherd and not really the other way around.
Well, I have to tell you this. This is really interesting. There was an article written years ago, and this guy was preaching at it was a mega church. I mean, mm-hmm. you're talking about 5,000 to 6,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor preached a message on, I believe it was eternal security, and how people struggle with that. And then he did something that I dare say any pastor would do at a church that has over 5,000 people like this. He told all the people at the end of his message his email address and his phone number, his mm-hmm. personal email and his personal phone number. I mean, now think about that. Well, you go, he doesn't have time for that. He's got a lead. And no, he put that out there because he wanted people to know he was available.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest aspects of what this text we're seeing this week is Jesus, more important than any pastor, past, present, or future, nobody more important than Jesus Christ. And he was available to Jairus and to a lady who was nobody wanted to be with this lady. And so, you know, he was approachable. And unfortunately, today you've got people with bodyguards. I mean, I'm not kidding you.
Right.
You can't even get in to say, hi, can I ask you a question? And so the platform, you go, well, it's just not rational. It's not right. Pastors are supposed to be shepherds, not celebrities. And like you and I were talking, we've made them that.
Yeah.
We as a culture have lifted them up, but Jesus was approachable and available, and that's what we see in this text. And tomorrow, we're going to see him connect with Jairus, a guy who was either just underneath people that wanted to kill mm-hmm. him, or maybe Jairus was a part of that.
Right.
And yet, he was even available to him. Yeah. Of all the people to be available to, Jairus, who was part of the religious system that yeah. wanted to kill people. These religious leaders said, remember, they were colluding with the Herodians. They wanted to kill him. And that's why Jesus pulled away. And so we're going to start getting into this first part tomorrow about this and looking at this whole idea of how Jesus was available. He wasn't too important.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't too valuable to meet with everyday people he had no idea what their agenda was, yeah. but they were needy and they were hurting and they were his people.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what right. we're going to see.
Well, and I think it is interesting that you have a miracle going on and sandwiched in between the miracle is another miracle. And to your point, as I know you'll bring out tomorrow, that as he's moving, as he's in pursuit to heal Jairus' daughter, he has time even then to stop and bring healing to this woman who's bleeding. It's incredible.
It's a great story. And, you know, Brad, John Piper wrote a book years ago that was one of the first books I read in ministry called Brothers, We Are Not Professionals. And it was really, really, really good.